we do believe that you're great, Lord. We believe that your word is great. We believe that your promises are great. We believe that your love is great for us, Father, and we love you in return, Lord. Father, we thank you for an opportunity to come together to be furthered by the gospel, Lord, to take the word and apply it to our lives in a way that enhances and embraces you, Father. And Lord, we just thank you for this day in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. Praise the Lord. Makes you more thankful for a pastor that can sing, doesn't it? Hallelujah. I'm just going to move this out of the way so I don't trip here. Well, I mentioned, my name and where I'm from and everything, and I'm excited to be here today with y'all. You know, the last time I think I covered for Pastor Mike in South Dayton, we were over in that building, and there were about half as many people. So it's great to see, you know, this new building, of course, and also just the explosive growth that this church has had. So welcome to it. You're in a good place today. You know, if you're new to this church or if this is your first time, I don't know if we have any first-time visitors today, but, you know, you're in a good place today. The pastor of this church, his heart is here, his heart is with you, and even this weekend, you know, he messaged me the other day and said how much it was hard for him to get away because he just loves being in his church and with his people. So his heart's with you this morning. But the word's good, and I believe I have a word from heaven for this church. So I just, excuse me, I encourage you to hook up with me this morning. We're just going to receive from the word today. You know, Pastor Mike, to me, just to give you a little bit of a background, when my son was born, my first son, Joshua, he went through a lot of medical stuff. And at first, the doctors didn't know if he was going to survive. And then when he did survive, they told him that he was going to have developmental disabilities and things like that. And, you know, we stood on the word, of course, and God performed a miracle in his life. And he's completely normal today. And doctors confirm it and everything like that. And, you know, I don't discount that miracle. God's good. Amen. But, you know, during that time, Pastor Mike and I had started texting back and forth, and he was a real encouragement to me during that season, and we texted a lot that week, I think, and, you know, afterwards, we just kind of kept up with it. And now, you know, I've really found a covenant friendship with your pastor, and I'm thankful for him. You should be as well, because he's a man that he lives what he preaches, and I've heard him preach, you know, he gives some fiery stuff, but he lives a fiery life, you know. He applies everything that he teaches to you, goes back into his own life, and he'll be the first to tell you that, of course. So I'm just thankful for an opportunity to stand in for him today. And whenever I minister somewhere, whether it's in, you know, the Fredonia Church, Pastor Michael Laketic is the pastor there, but I've filled in for him a few times, or, you know, whether it's in one of the other family churches, one of the first things that I do is I ask the Lord if I should minister a word about the pastor, about the pastor's office. And it's not always yes. You know, sometimes it is, sometimes it isn't. But I believe this morning we should talk about the pastor's office. So that's what we're going to talk about today. And what do you mean by that, Reverend Scott? Well, I'll tell you. You know, the Bible tells us a lot about that it's essential for us to have a pastor. It's essential for us to have a church that we call home. And, you know, Pastor Mike has taught on this before, of course. But, you know, for him to get up here and tell you some of the things that I'm going to tell you today might seem a little self-serving if he did that. Because, you know, you would never want to bring the light to yourself. And he has no idea what I'm ministering on this weekend. And I told Jeff after Olean last night, if he texted him and told him that I was going to have Jeff's neck, because I didn't want to get a text from Pastor Mike saying, don't tell them any of that stuff, you know. But now, stick with me, it's the word that we're going to be teaching today, amen. But, you know, Pastor Mike is so humble, he would never want it to appear like he asked me to come up here and tell you any of this. So please know this is a full disclaimer. He has no idea what I'm talking about today. I just told him I'm teaching about the pastor, and that's all I'm telling you. So, praise the Lord, that's what we're going to talk about today. So, what I want to mention today is, what do we call our pastor? That's what I believe the title of this sermon is going to be. When I was in the, Pastor Nancy Dufresne came to the Fredonia Church last month for a conference, and while she was there, you know, God speaks to people in different places. You know, some folks, I have friends where they really hear from God well in the car. So if they have something that they're believing God for, they go for a drive, and God will drop in their spirit, whatever it is. I have other people who hear from God really well in the shower. So if they're believing for something, they'll go take a shower, and suddenly, oh, revelation, and I'm clean. I mean, hey, kill two birds with one stone. For me, a lot of times, something will happen, or I'll be asking God something, and I'll get the answer during a service when somebody's preaching. And that used to bother me because I said, God, you know, aren't you interrupting yourself if you're telling me this during a service? But God's bigger than my mind can comprehend. And all I know is that I've gotten a lot of answers during services. And during the Pastor Nancy service, all that to say this, that I believe, you know, I just typed out some stuff during the service while she was preaching. And I believe that was for this church, for the Olean Church, and for Pastor Mike's ministry in general. So my hope is that this weekend, you know, he'll be blessed, just because it's not to point the light at him, it's to point the light at the office of the pastor that he happens to stand in. You know, we could talk about the office of the President of the United States, who happens to be President Obama right now. But I'm not talking specifically about President Obama, I'd be talking about the office of that. So that's what we're talking about this weekend, is the office of the pastor. How to get the most out of it, how to honor that office, of course, and how to receive from it in the church. So let's pray before we get into the word today. It's going to be good, amen?
Amen.
Father, we thank you for your word, Lord. I love what you said in Psalms, that it's a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our path, Father God. I thank you that it has direction in there for every part of our life, for every arena. You left nothing in the dark, Father, but you shine light on everything, Lord. So I thank you that this morning your word goes forth, Father. It's not my service, it's your service, Father. What you want said this morning, may it be said. What you want done this morning, may it be done, Lord. Father, I thank you for open ears to hear, open hearts to receive the word of God today. And I thank you that this church is blessed from it. In Jesus' name, amen. If you have your Bibles, go ahead and turn to the book of Ephesians, chapter 4. And you might know where I'm going with this, but if not, we'll get there. It's Ephesians 4 and verse 11. And it says, "And he gave some apostles and some prophets and some evangelists and some pastors and teachers for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come into the unity of the faith, of the knowledge of the Son of God, unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature and fullness of Christ, that we henceforth be no more children, tossed to and fro, carried about with every wind of doctrine, by the sleight of man, and cunning craftiness, whereby they lie in wait to deceive." Go back up to verse 11, if you could, Michelle. We're still there. Good. Okay. I love what it says there, the first part. He gave. So the first thing that we need to understand about the office of the pastor, and in this church, you know, specifically, of course, I'm talking about Pastor Mike, the office of that pastor is that it's a gift from God to us. You know, if we don't understand that our pastors are given to us by God, we're never really going to be able to take advantage of everything that God intended for us to come with that gift. You know, myself, I'm kind of a techie. I really like gadgets. I like computers. I like stuff like that. And recently I went to a conference out in California, and the car that we rented was, you know, it had one of those computers in the dashboard. Now, I think that's really cool. I don't have one yet. I'm believing for a car with a computer in the dashboard, and it's coming to me, but yet I don't have one. So out here in California, I get this car with the computer in the dashboard. So we leave the airport, and I'm driving back, and I'm looking at this thing. I said, man, I can't wait to get my hands on this. So, but it's like 10:30 at night. I've been traveling for 12 hours. I'm a little tired, you know. So I get back to the hotel and went to sleep, and I got up early before church the next morning. And I go back out. I go out to the car with the instruction book in my phone so I can Google online, how do I use this thing? Because I want to get the most out of it, you know. So I learn everything it can do for me. It hooks up with my phone. It plays my music when I tell it to. It tells me where to go and how to get there. You know, I mean, this thing can do a lot of stuff. And I'm thinking, man, this is great. This is great. I'm really going to get the most out of this, you know. So then during the week, we were in California, and I think it would be beautiful and sunny, but the weather was all over the place while I was out there. And the car had, you know, the climate control in the car wasn't like it is in, you know, maybe older cars or more basic functions. It wasn't just cold, hot, fan on, fan off, you know. There was a lot, it was computerized. Everything was digital in there. And usually I can handle that kind of stuff, but I was at a loss with this thing. I'm looking at it and I'm thinking, okay, if I push the red part, it's supposed to get warmer, but it's getting colder. And I'm not sure why that's happening. And I was getting really frustrated because I'd have to have the windows rolled down because it's blowing out 90-degree air at me. But I wanted the air conditioning on, so I couldn't really figure it out. So that went on for, I mean, probably 5 or 6 days while I was out there. And I was getting really frustrated. And now you might say, what took so long? I don't know. It wouldn't work, and I couldn't get it to work. So, but what ended up happening was later that week, I was driving in the car, and I looked down, and there's a little button that says auto. And it's in the middle of the climate control, and somehow I'd been completely blinded from this button before, so I pushed the auto button, and suddenly the air is the temperature I want it to be, and within 3 minutes the car is comfortable for me, and I'm happy. So what am I saying? Well, I'm saying I didn't know how to get the most out of that car, so I lost out on some things for the beginning part of that week. I lost out on some comfort, you know. Of course, it's just a creature comfort, but it's the same thing for our pastors. Our pastors are equipped with things that we might not know how to use, but we have to learn how to use them so that we can get the most out of them and live a good life. And they have things that are intended for us, and the Bible talks about those things. You know, the Bible says that the Holy Spirit has made you an overseer. And he's talking specifically to the pastors when he says that. So what he's talking about is that if you have a pastor that was put there by God, now of course there are pastors that have been put in office by man, or you know, somebody just woke up one day and said, I'm going to be a pastor today. Well, I'm not talking about those. I'm talking about the ones that were specifically put in the office of a pastor by the Holy Spirit. And you can trust that your pastor was put here by the Holy Spirit. I'm sure he's told you the story how the church started. I want a church in South Dayton because it's going to be a door in the effectual. Amen? And things will come out through that door. Praise the Lord. But when you have a pastor that was put here by the Holy Spirit, they have gifts that they're equipped with that will help us in our lives, that will enhance our lives. And it's our job as Christians, as sheep under those pastors, to find out everything that those gifts are so that we can tap into it and get the most out of our pastor. Amen? Now, I want to encourage you, if this isn't your church, if you're just visiting today or whatever it may be, just take hold of what I say today and put it into your life. If you have a pastor, put it under that pastor. But I encourage you today, if Pastor Mike is your pastor, listen to this message as a way that you can grow. You know, there'll be opportunities to get offended. Anytime the word is preached, there's opportunities to get offended. But if we take hold of the word and we see, okay, Lord, I'm open to your word and whatever your word says to me, no matter how much it hurts, no matter how much I might not like it on my flesh, I just want to do it because it's his word. That's where the blessing comes from. Amen? So what I said before for the title of the message, what do you call your pastor? We're going to see how calling is important when it comes to our pastor. And I'm not just talking about calling him Pastor Mike. You know, I should make mention of this just in case, because I don't know where anybody's at, but it's important that we call our pastor, Pastor. You know, it's a sign. Everything we're talking about today, it all boils down to honor, really, is what it comes down to. And God said in 1 Samuel 2:30 that they that honor me, I will honor. So it's important that we learn about honor in the body of Christ. And that's everything we're talking about today boils down to that. But when you call your pastor by just his first name, you know, I just want to mention this. When you call your pastor, say he walks in here and you say, hey, Mike. Well, you know, for me, like for my pastor, right, if I were to say, hey, Michael, I mean, it just like sends shivers down my spine, you know. And that's just, everybody's different, of course. But, you know, there's a lot to be said by what you call your man or woman of God. If you call them Pastor Mike and Miss Courtney, you're going to receive from them the things that God has put on them for you. If you call them just Mike and Courtney, you're going to get all that Mike and Courtney have to offer, which I believe is a lot because they're great people. But he'll be the first to tell you that Mike isn't going to enhance your spiritual life. Pastor Mike is going to enhance your spiritual life. So it's important what we call our pastor. So go ahead and turn to Romans chapter 4, if you have your Bibles. If not, we'll have it up on the screen, I think, 4, and verse 16. And this is talking about Abraham here, and we'll see why we're looking at this in a second. Romans 4:16, it says, therefore it is of faith that it might be by grace, to the end that the promise might be sure to all the seed, not to only that which is of the law, but also which is of the faith of Abraham, who is the father of us all. As it is written, I have made thee a father of many nations, before him whom he believed, even God who quickeneth the dead, and calleth those things that be not as though they were. So we see here a characteristic of God in verse 17 there. God quickens the dead. So he brings to life that which was dead, which he did for all of us when he brought us up in Christ. And then it says, and he calls those things that be not as though they were. So God's characteristic is to call things before he sees the manifestation of it. And we know this if we've been taught faith for any time. You know, faith teaches us that you call in the things that you're believing for, and you talk like you already have it, really. If you're believing for healing, you talk like you're already healed. We acknowledge that there's symptoms, but we don't dwell in the symptoms. We dwell in the healing because that's where Jesus put us. Amen? And it's the same thing when it comes to our pastors. And the reason I like looking at Abraham here was that Abraham was a man of faith. And sometimes it takes faith for us to look at a man as our pastor, because there's a lot of folks out there that'll look at where they go to church. They'll look at him as, you know, Father Joe, okay, he's great. He's helped me. You know, it's been whatever. I used to have a Father Joe, so back in the day. But, you know, to look at a man really as ordained by God to speak into your life, to give someone the ability, to give someone the license to speak into your life and help you spiritually, it takes faith to do that. Because you've got to believe that what they have to say is from God and not from them. And that takes faith to believe that. It really does. But you will get more from him by attaching your faith to that, by saying, Pastor Mike, I recognize that you are anointed by God. You are a gift from God for my life to show me things in the Bible that I might not have seen otherwise. And I'm going to call you my pastor. I'm going to recognize that you're the pastor of my life, and my life is going to be enhanced by those gifts that are on his life. Amen? You know, how we treat our pastors, what we call our pastors, will depend on how they work for us. You know, I have a bike, and I have a car. And on my way out here today, I took the car. But if I'd taken the bike, first of all, I would have had to leave probably last night to get out here, pull over every about 5 minutes coming up Route 83, you know what I'm saying? The way down would be great, but the way up that hill, ooh. But, you know, I have both. But if I said, okay, I've got a bike, and then I said, I give Vinny a call, and I say, Vinny, I'm going to pick you up on the way to church today. And then we're going to go through a drive-thru. And then we're going to go to church. And then maybe afterwards, I'm going to go get my oil changed. And he's thinking, didn't you say you're taking your bike? And he's going to think I'm nuts, right? Because I'm treating my bike like a car. It's not going to work for me. I'm not going to get the same effects. The same thing's true for our pastors. They'll take us places. They'll get us places. But we've got to treat them like a pastor. We've got to recognize that they are our pastors. And they can get us the places we need to go. But only if we recognize and actually treat them like they are what the Bible says they are. You know, my wife, she likes jewelry. I think probably most women like jewelry. Some men like jewelry, too. I have this. That's about it, you know. But my wife likes jewelry, and I'm sure she'd love to have more jewelry than she has. And, you know, I'm believing for my car with the computer. She can believe for her jewelry, all right? We've each got our own stuff. But, you know, she's got her wedding ring, right? And then she's also got a little, I don't know, $5 necklace she got from the checkout at JCPenney that she really likes. Well, she treats them differently. You know, she gets her wedding ring cleaned. She takes care of it. It has a warranty on it, so she takes it in to get checked out to make sure that everything's up to date with it. But that necklace from JCPenney, you know, okay, it's back on the hook. All right, I'm going to wear it today. Oops, I dropped it on the floor. Here, Joshua, play with the necklace, you know. She doesn't put as much stock in the necklace because it's not worth much to her. How much something is worth to us depends on how we'll treat them. And our pastors ought to be worth gold to us, especially the ones that are ordained by God to be over our lives. Praise the Lord. It's good to submit to a pastor because in that is the blessing, in that is the equipment that what God has for us. Back there in Ephesians where it says that God has given us that we would be perfected for the work of the ministry. You know, don't discount that as, oh, I'm not called to ministry, so this verse isn't for me. No, it's to be perfected. Every single believer is called to a ministry to share the gospel, and our pastors will help us to be able to do that. That's what Pastor Mike is here for. He's here to equip you. You know, so many times Christians come to church and they think it's just for them. You know, oh, I'm part of this special Sunday morning club that I get to go to. Well, yeah, I guess you can come with me today. You know, nobody says that out loud, but everybody kind of, that mentality is easy to creep in. Maybe not here so much. You guys are good, right? You bring people. You invite people to church, of course. But, you know, every Christian is called to go out and share the gospel. And church isn't here. The gifts of God aren't here for us to just take part in ourselves and selfishly hold to ourselves. God gives us Jesus. He gives us healing. He gives us faith. He gives us prosperity so that we can show other people, hey, this is my God. This is what he wants to do for you. And then you can come and then they'll get hooked up with the gospel because of that. So until you've been perfected, which I dare say none of us in here are perfect this morning. I know myself, I'm pretty far away from it right now. You know, and we're righteous. The Bible says we've been made righteous by the blood of Christ, but it doesn't say we've been made perfect by the blood of Christ. So we just believe, God, that our pastors will help to perfect us. And until we're perfect, as far as I'm concerned, the Bible says we need a pastor to help perfect us. We need those ministry gifts. Just one more illustration here to show the importance of our pastors. You know, we used to have a dog when I was growing up, and she lived to be, I think, 17 or 18 years old. And great dog, great dog. Her name was Ginger, and she was a German Shepherd mix. But towards the end of her life, you know, I don't remember exactly what she died from, but she died, and as most dogs do, all dogs do, actually. But she got pretty sick, and she needed some medication from the vet. And I don't know if you've ever had to, I'm sure Dr. Katie can attest to this, if you ever had to give any kind of animal probably a pill, but especially, I'll just use the dog as the example here, you know, they don't exactly, you don't just put it next to their bowl of water and then they'll take the pill. Maybe you had a dog like that. Our dog was not like that. I couldn't say, okay, Ginger, here, take your pill now. You know, I had to open her mouth and shove it down her throat and hope that it stayed down there. Otherwise, she'd spit it out. Well, after a couple mornings of that, and my hand ended up a little bloody a couple of times, you know, because she didn't like it. I didn't like it. Nobody was having a good time. But she needed the medicine. She needed to be helped by it. But what I figured out, and you probably already know this, is that if I take that pill and I put it in a piece of bologna, man, she takes that pill like there's no tomorrow. She said, give me another one, you know. She loves the medicine because it tastes good, right? That's what our pastors do for us. We need the word. We need the medicine. But sometimes it's hard for us to take it on our own. Sometimes we might not see everything that it has to offer. We might choke it down a little bit. But when they wrap it up and put it in a nice piece of bologna and give it to us on a Sunday morning, we love it, right? We take that word and then we grow from it. So that's our pastors are good for us. We've got to get that medicine, and they'll give it to us in a way. They're equipped to give it to us in a way that'll bless and enhance us. Praise the Lord. So what I want to look at now, with what time we have left, is I want to see a couple of examples in the Bible of how people treated what they called their man of God, or well, in this case, they were two men, so what they called their man of God. You know, Pastor Mike, if this is your church, would be your man of God. So we're going to see, first of all, what they called them, and then how they treated them, and then the outcome of what happened. See, you know, how'd that work for them? Because there's examples in the Bible. They're not just there to read us to sleep at night. They're there to help us, right? There's examples in there to show us things that we might not have seen otherwise. So the first one I want to look at is an example of Jesus in Mark 6. And you might say, well, Jesus, he was the Son of God. How would anybody ever have dishonored Jesus? How would anybody ever have not gotten the most out of his ministry? Well, it's in the word and it's truth, so we're going to see how it happened. In Mark 6 and verse 1, it says, and he, Jesus, went out from thence and came into his own country, and his disciples followed him. And when the Sabbath day was come, he began to teach in the synagogue, and many hearing him were astonished, saying, from whence is this man these things? And what wisdom is this which is given unto him, even that even such mighty works are wrought by his hands? Is this not the carpenter, the son of Mary, the brother of James and Joseph and Judah and Simon? And are not his sisters here with us? And they were offended at him. But Jesus said unto them, a prophet is not without honor, but in his own country and among his own kin and in his own house. And he could there do no mighty works, save that he laid his hands upon a few sick folk and healed them. And he marveled because of their unbelief, and he went around the villages teaching. There's so much in these scriptures. We could, you know, you could teach a couple of weeks probably out of these scriptures and just take everything that they have to offer. We're just going to look at an overview of this real quick, because what I see here, when Jesus said that a prophet's without honor, and he marveled at their unbelief, and all he could do was teach. First of all, Jesus, the Son of God, wasn't able to work miracles in their lives because of something, right? And I want to see, God has miracles for our lives. He has financial miracles for our lives. He has healing miracles for our lives. And I don't know about you, but there comes time in my life where I need to tap into those miracles. I needed them. When my son was born and the doctor said he was going to die, I needed a miracle. And I needed to see what was going to happen, right? Well, I didn't want to be one of those that Jesus couldn't do a miracle for me because of something. So we look in the Word here, and he says he marveled at them because of their unbelief. Okay, they didn't believe. So how didn't they believe? So first we see that they didn't get a miracle. Then we see he said it's because they didn't believe. So what did they do that he called unbelief? In verse 3, what do you call your pastor? He said, is this not the carpenter, the son of Mary? They called him a carpenter. You know, for people to tap into the gifts that were on Jesus' life, they had to call him something. Same goes for us. If we just call Jesus the cross that we wear around our necklace, if that's all Jesus is ever going to be to us, then that's all we're ever going to get out of him is a nice necklace. But if we call him the Son of God, the living God, the one that died for me and rose again from the dead, then I can tap into eternal salvation. I can tap into healing. I can tap into prosperity. It's how we look at him, how we call him. And that same thing goes back to our pastor. You know, for these folks here, where Jesus was, they were familiar with Jesus. And I have a saying that says, familiarity feeds failure. I will never get familiar with my pastor. You know, and I know it's sometimes difficult in a small church because, you know, and it is, it's good to be a family. And there's a difference here, you know, there's a family, but then there's also an honor that needs to go with that. And sometimes, especially in small churches, that honor can be lost because you feel like, oh, he's just another one of us. You know, to these people, Jesus, I mean, they saw him grow up. They saw him in diapers. They saw him fall and skin his knee. They saw him go through puberty. I mean, Jesus was a man. You know, we have this beautiful vision of him as 32-year-old handsome Jesus, but he had to grow up at some point, right? He was born just like the rest of us were, and they saw all this, and that was all that they saw him as, was the carpenter. They saw natural Jesus, so all natural Jesus could do was teach them. Now, I'm sure it was anointed teaching. It says he laid his hands on a few sick folks and healed them. Praise the Lord for those folks' faith. But for the most part, they lost out because they were familiar with him. You know, when I first got hooked up with my pastor, Pastor Michael, one of the things that he said to me was, you know, if you're going to serve me, and he was talking, you know, there's different ways, because there's people that are called under a pastor to be sheep. There's people that are called to serve in a church. Everybody's called to serve in their local church in some capacity. But then there's folks, and you read throughout the Bible, that are called specifically to a man or to a woman to serve them. Pastor Nancy Dufresne said it great when she said, their purpose is to advance someone else's ministry. And everybody that's called to ministry will go through that at some time. You know, Pastor Mike, he served under Pastor Tim at the Jamestown Church. His job at that time was to further the Jamestown ministry. His name wasn't attached to it. You know, people didn't come to the church and say, Pastor Mike, I love your church. They said, Pastor Tim, I love your church. Well, Pastor Mike's doing a lot of work for it. Every man that's called to ministry has to serve somebody else. And but one of the things that my pastor said to me when I first started serving him was, you'll never be my friend. And at that time, I took that, oh, well, what do you mean? I thought, you know, you're my pastor. We're supposed to be all buddy-buddy and everything like that. And God dealt with me hard on that. You know, we're not called to be our pastor's friend. We're called to be, they're called to be our pastor, right? And that's, if we get too close to them, if we get too familiar with them, that's where we can end up like these people that didn't get any miracles out of Jesus. You know, there's balance here, of course. You know, that doesn't mean that Pastor Mike comes in, goes in his office, and never associates with us, right? Because he loves us. His heart is as a pastor towards us. And, you know, we are his family. We're all family, right? We are family, but we've got to be careful there not to lose the honor in the name of family, because honor is more important, in my opinion, praise the Lord. That's where, you know, the Bible says, he that honors me, I will honor. It doesn't say, he that calls me family, I'll call family, right? We're in the body of Christ, and we're all family because of that, but praise the Lord, it's the word, and the word's good, amen? Amen. So with Jesus, there's another example, and I didn't pull this out in Olean last night, but the Lord dealt with me this morning to mention this, because I just want you to see with Jesus specifically, you know, because sometimes it's hard for us to understand how the Son of God, how God himself, really, a miracle couldn't work through him, because you think he's God. He can do anything he wants to do. But his ability to work in their life depended on how they received from him. You know, you come to church here and God's working and God's giving you a message through your pastor. If you don't recognize that that message is coming from God directly to you, that God's directly delivering mail to you in your seats, you're not going to get anything out of that message. You could come to church for 25 years and never change at all because you never recognize that God wants to grow you. So in Matthew 16:13, and this is talking about Jesus again here, it says, when Jesus came into the coasts of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, saying, who do men say that I, the Son of Man, am? And they said, some say that thou art John the Baptist, some Elias, others Jeremias, or one of the prophets. And he said unto them, but who do you say that I am? And Simon Peter answered and said, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. And Jesus answered and said unto him, blessed art thou, Simon Barjona, for flesh and blood has not revealed it unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven. And I also say unto thee that thou art Peter, and upon this rock shall I build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. Now, Peter here, he called Jesus the right thing. He called him, thou art a Christ, the Son of the living God. And when he said that, he tapped into that supernatural part of Jesus. He tapped into the Son of God part of Jesus. And Jesus said, you've heard from heaven, Peter. You've got the right thing. And, you know, there's a religion, I think we're all familiar with it, that takes the scripture and said, oh, because of this, St. Peter's at the gates of heaven waiting for me to sign my name in a book and tell me if I get into heaven. We've all seen the Far Side cartoons, right? But what he's saying here is, he's building his church not on Peter, but he's building it on what Peter said. Peter recognized that Jesus was the Son of God, that he was the Christ, the Son of the living God. And that's what God wants to build his church on, is people that recognize who Jesus is and then and recognize everything that goes with the body of Christ, which is the office of the pastor. Praise the Lord. So we're going to look at another example here, and we'll close with this scripture. Don't get too excited, though, because I've got a few notes on this scripture. So I say we'll close, but you know that doesn't mean too much. 2 Kings 4, and this is one of my favorite I don't like the word Bible stories, but one of my favorite Bible passages. There's so many nuggets in here, and I've studied this out a lot. You know, like I said, anytime that I get to preach somewhere, I ask God if He wants me to talk about the pastor, because the pastors in the family churches are good, humble people, and they're not gonna pat their own back for you. So, you know, whenever I get a chance to, and I'm gonna do it. I'm gonna pat their back for them. So, because they do the word of God and they do it well. So in 2 Kings 4 in chapter verse 8, excuse me. It says, and it fell on a day that Elisha passed to Shunem, where was a great woman, and she constrained him to eat bread. And so it was that as oft as he passed by, he turned in there to eat bread. And she said to her husband, behold, now I perceive that this is a holy man of God which passes by us continually. Let us make a little chamber, I pray thee, on the wall, and let us set for him there a bed and a table and a stool and a candlestick. And it shall be when he comes to us that he'll turn in here. And it fell on a day that he came there, and he turned into the chamber and lay there. And he said to Gehazi his servant, call this Shunammite. And when he had called her, she stood before him. And he said unto him, say now to her, behold, thou hast been careful for us with all this care. What is to be done for thee? Would thou be spoken for to the king or to the captain of the host? And she answered, I dwell among mine own people. And he said, what then is to be done for her? And Gehazi answered, verily she has no child, and her husband is old. And he said, call her. And when he had called her, she stood in the door. And he said, about this season, according to the time of life, thou shalt embrace a son. And she said, nay, my lord, thou man of God, do not lie to thy handmaid. And the woman conceived, and she bare a son at that season that Elisha had said to her, according to the time of life. There's a couple of things that I like looking at in this scripture. First of all, it has a lot to do with honor. If you study out the rest of the chapter, you see another miracle that God did for this woman, simply because of something she did for the man of God. But I love at the end there where she says in verse 17, nay, my lord, thou man of God, do not lie to thy handmaid. So here the prophet of God says to her, listen, you honored me. Now I want to do something for you. God wants to do something for you. And she had absolutely no faith that it was going to happen. I like seeing the miracles in people's lives that have no faith that it's going to happen, because that shows that there's something else at work there. There's something else going on that got that miracle to work in their life. We know that faith is the number one way to tap into the miracles of God. But for this woman, she clearly had no faith that this was going to happen. So why did it still work? Well, we see why in the beginning there. She built him a chamber. She built him a little chamber. So the first thing we see with this woman was that she was a great woman, the Bible says. Now that word great, if you study it out in the Greek, actually means a rich woman. So that takes you, you know, we've just got to recognize that. I like also studying out people in the Bible that were rich, because the Bible says that I'm rich, and I want to see, all right, if they were rich and the Bible says it, what characteristics did they have that I can match up my life to? Because I want to tap into that as well. We're to mirror ourselves to the Bible. That's what it says there in Romans, that we look in this. We go from glory to glory, transformed as in a mirror. So that means that as we look in the Word, you know, we constantly see things. Ooh, I can tweak this in my life to line up with the Word more. Ooh, I can change this over here just a little bit, and that way I can get more in line with the Word. And we can spend our whole lives doing it, because we're never going to be perfect, right? We saw that earlier. So we looked at what those people in Mark called Jesus. So let's look at what this woman called Elisha, who at that time was her man of God. She didn't have a pastor. She had a man of God, though. So let's see what she says. In verse 9, she says to her husband, behold, now I perceive that this is a holy man of God. And in verse 16, she says, nay, my lord, thou man of God. So she says, holy man of God. She says, lord. She says, man of God. Man, when she said those things, maybe she knew, maybe she didn't know, but she was tapping into the supernatural, because she was saying, okay, there's Elisha. Elisha's a nice guy. He's done a lot of good things for a lot of people, but there's a man of God side of Elisha. You know, we all have a natural side. We all have a spiritual side, and she tapped into that supernatural side when she said man of God. You know, if you went around calling a pastor Lord, right, people are going to look at you like you're crazy, but it's the heart behind it. Right? When you call your pastor, pastor, are you recognizing that you are, in fact, really giving him lordship over your life? Yet not so much to tell you the ins and outs. You know, he's not going to tell you what kind of peanut butter to buy. That's up to us, right? But he is going to give us promises in the Bible that and shed light on it and deliver messages from heaven directly for us. Do you know that that's what your pastor is here to do for you? Your pastor is here as a gift from God to give you messages from heaven. When you come to church on a Sunday morning, you're not just checking it off on a list. And if you are, I encourage you, renew your mind on that, because you're not going to get anything out of church. It's just going to be a check off on a list. But when you come to church and you say, God, I'm going into the house of God today. I'm learning from the man of God that you gave for me in my life specifically, because you loved me enough to show me a promise in the word that I might not have seen on my own. When you tap into that, like this woman did, she tapped into the supernatural part of Elisha. She tapped into where his double portion of anointing was, right? She tapped into the prophet's office. And what happened for her? She got a son, right? If you had said to her at the start of this, and we'll look at this in a second, but if you had said to her at the start of this, you know, you want to build him a room, okay, that's fine. And she'd said, I don't know. Because, you know, when you look at that, it says little chamber. And so our minds can maybe take that as to something it's not really. If you study that out in the Hebrew, I think I said Greek again earlier, the Old Testament was written in Hebrew. If you study that out in the Hebrew, that word little chamber there actually signifies a room that's built onto the second story of a home for someone else. It's an actual thing in their culture, I guess. It's called an aliyah is the name for it. And that addition, you know, when I first read this and it said a little chamber, what I picture is maybe a little closet like this room up here that they put a little mat on the floor in, you know? But when it says that she built him a little chamber, you study that out, that's an addition that costs somewhere between $20,000 and $40,000. We're not just talking a couple of, a bed and a pillow on a floor with a lamp next to it. They built an addition onto their home just for this man of God to have us to sleep in when he goes by. Now, I'm not telling you to go build an addition on your home for Pastor Mike to stay in. He's probably going to say, I'm not going to come stay in it, but thanks for building it anyways. But, you know, it's the fact of the matter. We've got to recognize that this woman wasn't just putting some beds on a floor. She sunk $40,000 into her house so that the man of God would have a relaxing place to stay when he walked by. Now, if you had said to her when she started, you know, there's people out there that run marathons. Clearly, I am not one of them, right? I'm never probably going to run a marathon. It's not on my life goals list. I have no desire to ever do it. And if you put me at the starting line of a marathon, I would probably laugh at you and walk away, right? I'm not even going to start it because I know I'm not going to finish it, all right? Now, you may say, well, that's not ambition. Well, that's where I'm at. I'm sorry. I'm not a marathon runner. Know your strengths, right? But now, if you set me at the starting line of that marathon and you told me, you know what? I know that you're going to win this marathon, and you had some sort of proof. I don't know what it is, a picture. You traveled in time and took a picture of me crossing the finish line. Well, I'm going to run the race a little bit differently. I'm going to start it, first of all, right? Now, if you said to this woman at the beginning, she says, I don't know, $40,000, that's just so much money to give to a person, to give to a man of God. I mean, aren't they supposed to be poor anyways? Aren't they? They're not supposed to have money. They're serving Jesus. He says, take up your cross and follow me. He says, lay down everything that's behind. Study that out. He wasn't actually talking to his preachers, by the way. But, you know, you read that, and if she had said that at the beginning, things might have been nice for her for a season. He might have still stopped by. She could make him bread from time to time. She never would have gotten a son. She never would have gotten her son. She got her son. You look at these scriptures, and maybe you see something else here, but the way I'm seeing it, the Bible says he laid down in that chamber, and when he laid in there and rested, God spoke to him and said, I want you to give her what she wants. And she didn't even know what she wanted. She wanted a son, and God knew. God knows before we know. So something we're believing for, we might not even know that we need yet. But God wants us to have it. And so he's not going to show us what it is that we need to have. He's going to show us an opportunity to give. And when he shows us that opportunity to give, like he did for this woman, then we can do it. We can sow and we can say, God, I'm just trusting you. This is going to something good. I don't know what it is. But when we do that, we're able to tap into the supernatural, just like this woman was. And she got a son. You know, you can't put a price tag on a child. I don't know what adoptions cost. I mean, I think it's nowadays somewhere up $20,000, $30,000. It's expensive. And of course, that's, you know, there's a lot to be said. Their adoptions are good. And, I'm thankful for people that do adopt children because there's a lot of children out there. My wife, every time, she goes online and she'll read one of these sad stories about, you know, the orphans. And I'll come in the bedroom and she'll just be sobbing. Tears are going down her cheeks. And I say, honey, what's wrong? I read another orphan story. You know, and her heart. And I'm not trying to make light of it, all right? I recognize that there are children out there that need good homes. But what I'm saying is that, you can't buy your own birth child, right? You know what I'm saying there? You can adopt a child, but there's no way that you could go to fertility clinics, whatever. But if you're barren, right? You need a miracle from God. This woman had a miracle from God. You can't put a price tag on that. So what I want to mention now, and we'll close with this, because we talked a lot about this and about what this woman did. She gave directly to this man of God. She sowed $40,000 into him. I mean, really, that's what it studied. You study it out, that's what happened there. And there is something about financially hooking up with your man of God that will just cause the windows of heaven to open to you. I kind of liken it to, you know what Miracle-Gro is, right? So spring's coming. Amen, right? Who's hooked up with me? Everybody except Jeff is hooked up, I'm sure. Spring is coming, okay? And that takes faith to believe that, maybe, but we have a more sure word somewhere. But, you know, if we were both, if you were to come over to my house, and I have, you know, a couple plots of land there, whatever, and you put a 4x4 garden right here, and I put a 4x4 garden right next to it, we planted the same exact bulbs, we planted the same exact flowers, we planted, you know, we put mulch in the same exact way, whatever it is. But the only difference was that I put Miracle-Gro in my garden and used regular water. In a couple of months, our gardens are going to look distinctly different, right? Mine's going to be more full. It's going to be more vibrant, probably. The colors are going to be, you know, I've seen Miracle-Gro in action, and that's a fact. And that's what, when you financially hook up with your man of God, that's what it does to your life, right? It's like Miracle-Gro for your spiritual life, not just spiritual, for your natural life, you know? When my wife and I decided to financially hook up with, what do I mean by financially hook up with? I don't want to leave anything to imagination here, because what we're talking about is the word, right? So just hook up with that. But what I mean is that you sow directly financial blessings into your pastor, whether it's Pastor Mike or not, whoever it is. Because the Bible says where your treasure is, that's where your heart is also. You're saying, God, I recognize that this man is my pastor. Money speaks. Whether we like it or not, money speaks, you know? And it's not going to cause him to have favor over anybody. He doesn't even like to look at the offerings because, you know, he wouldn't want that to even be a possibility of a thought, that temptation would come. But when you do it, you're not showing him. It doesn't matter to him at all. What it says to God is that, God, I recognize that you've put this man in my life, and I want to financially bless him because this is where my heart is at. This is, my heart's in this church. My heart's after what he's after. I want to do what my pastor wants to do. And that's the Miracle-Gro on your life. My wife and I, when we hooked up with our pastor, and, you know, just from my personal finances, I'll just give you a glimpse here. My pastor is the biggest offering that we sow every month. We have our tithes, and then after that is our pastor. Just, you know, that's just our personal, that's how we do it. That's how we felt led of God to do our finances. And, you know, and it doesn't go through the church. It goes to him personally. Anytime I see him, I make sure to give him a handshake with something in it. And when we did that, our income in our family, it over doubled in under a year. I was doing this, and I wasn't doing anything different. You may say, well, yeah, but, you know, you're young. You probably got a new job. I was doing the same exact job. I actually got a demotion with a raise. It doesn't make sense to me, but I got a demotion that came with a raise at work, and there was some other stuff that went into play there, but... And then, you know, I wasn't doing anything different in my life. My wife wasn't working. You know, she's home with our boys. That's just what we've believed God that we'd be able to do, that she could stay home and raise our boys. And she does it, and she does a wonderful job at it. But I believe that she's able to do it because we were led of God on how to sow into our pastors, you know. And a lot of times people get so offended at this stuff. But, you know, what are you, if this Shunammite woman had gotten offended at that seed, she wouldn't have had a child. Right? She wouldn't have had a son. That's evident here in the scriptures. So I just encourage you, don't get offended at the seed, because when you sow a seed, it's going to meet a need. And you might not know what that need is yet, but the need's going to come, and you're going to say, God, I have a need here. You know, so many times people, they have a need, and suddenly this need arises, and they haven't sown any seed for this need. So they're like, oh, I got to throw stuff in the ground and expect to harvest in 20 minutes, right? It's not going to happen. If you're constantly giving, if you're constantly sowing seed, then when the time comes that you need to reap it, you can say, well, Lord, I sowed that back there. I expect a harvest now. And you constantly, you know, it's built on itself, right? And you've always got a harvest. You've got farmers out there that are, what are they called? Four-season farmers, right? Somewhere, probably not here, because you can't farm anything in the wintertime, really, but except maybe a greenhouse. But, you know, you've got the four-season farmers. They're always preparing for what's to come. You know, a farmer doesn't sow, when do you harvest corn? Anybody? Summer, right? Late summer, something like that. So you don't sow the seed, you don't put the corn seed into the ground at the beginning of August and expect your harvest to come up, right? Is that right? When do you put corn seed in the ground? Maybe I shouldn't use farming analogies. It's not my strength. But June, okay. So you put it in June and you get a nice harvest towards the end of August. We'll go with that. If that's not true, just bear with me and we'll say that it is right now. But if I were to go to you and say, okay, I want some corn. I'm going to go plant some corn and have it for dinner tonight. You'd call me crazy, right? You'd say that's not going to happen. And that's the same thing with our spiritual lives. But if we're constantly sowing, if we're constantly putting into the ground, we're going to be able to reap when the time comes that we need to reap that harvest. Amen? There's something about financially hooking up with your man of God. And I tell you what, it will bless your life. It will enhance your life. And it'll cause his gift as pastor to open up for you. You know, I sit in services under my pastor, and he's preaching the same word he's always preached. You know, of course, he's going to higher levels as well, and God's given me revelation in the word too, but he'll just say things that are like, oh, that's it. It just broke it right off. That was what I needed. That was the revelation that I needed. Something he's always said, I finally see the light from. Why does that come? It's because I honor him as my pastor. Pastor Mike and Miss Courtney, they are your pastors. They were put here by God in South Dayton, New York, to lead you in the things of God. And I just encourage you to recognize that on their life. Never discount that. Never, you know, the back and forth of, well, I think this week my pastor is going to be so-and-so. This week my pastor is going to be so-and-so. No, have a pastor. If you don't have, you know, if you're constantly going to a different source, you're not going to know what's your favorite drink. You know, maybe that's not the best illustration, but, you know, everybody has a pastor. God's given each of us a pastor. And if this is your church and Pastor Mike is your pastor, I just encourage you, go all in, you know, throw everything you got at it. Say, Lord, I'm done hopping. I'm done wondering. I'm done, you know, going to church and not being changed. Why would you want to go to church and not be changed? I went to a church till I was in, I left the Catholic religion in third grade, you know, some big philosophical revelation of a seven-year-old, I guess, but I knew it wasn't for me, you know. I'll tell you what happened. We got time. You're okay. Deal with it. We were going through First Communion class, and if you don't know, in the Catholic Church, you have to go through First Communion class before you can take communion, and I was going to class. And we get in there to start, and it's the basement of the church, and all my friends are there with their parents and everything. And Father Dan gets up, and he says, well, let's get this over with. The Friends finale's on in an hour. And I just, 7 years old, in my life, what? Like, because to me, I was so frustrated with the fact, I don't know if you know much about the Catholic religion, but I was so frustrated with the fact that my mom, who came to church with me every week, she was Protestant, so she couldn't take communion. And I was so, and my dad could because he was Catholic, but he didn't want anything to do with church. And I was like, she wants to be here. Why can't she do it? And it just didn't make sense to me. So that's why I left the Catholic Church. There you know. But gosh, how did we get there? Where were we going with that? Anybody? Somebody? Yeah, there we go. We'll just keep preaching, right? We'll just keep preaching by faith and hopefully it'll come back out. But you know, that's it. Why would you want to go to church and not be changed? So I was going to a church, and I wasn't being changed, and I didn't want anything to do with it anymore. God, you know, we're constantly being, like we said earlier, we're being perfected. We're being grown. We're being helped, right? It may hurt a little bit. That medicine that comes down with us, you know, we might not like the flavor of it if it sneaks through the bologna once in a while, but we still need it. It's good for us, and it's the word, and it'll grow us. Amen? Amen. Praise the Lord. Let's pray. Father, I thank you for your word. I thank you, Lord, that it's a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our path. Father, I thank you, Father, that it has an answer for every part of our life, Father God. It has an answer for everything that you would intend for us, Lord. Father, I thank you that you've given us pastors, Father, especially this church. I thank you for each and every person here, Lord. Father, that you have a plan for their life. Lord, that you gave them a pastor because you love them so much, Father. Lord, I thank you for revelation for them, for the spirit of wisdom and revelation and the knowledge of you, for understanding of the office of their pastor, Lord, that they would be able to receive from it everything that you'd have for them too, Lord. Father, that Pastor Mike is blessed in this church, Father God. And Lord, I just thank you for this service today, Lord. And with heads bowed and eyes closed, I would never want to leave a service without giving this opportunity. You know, we talked about the office of the pastor today, that God loved us so much that he gave us pastors. But first, before he gave us pastors, he gave us Jesus. And if you're in this place today and you don't know Jesus as your Savior and you've never accepted Jesus Christ into your heart, if you've never recognized that he is the Son of God and the only way to heaven, I'd encourage you, raise your hand right now if you've never made that recognition in your life before. I don't know everybody here, so give that opportunity. Praise the Lord. I don't see any hands, and I'm just going to give another invitation. If you're in this place this morning and, you know, God's been dealing with your heart today, and you know that you need to step it up with God. You know that, you know, not even so much what we talked about today, but just maybe you've slipped away from Jesus, that you've been at church, but it's never really been, he's never been Lord of your life. You've just been playing the game or pretending to walk the walk. If you want to give your life to the Lord, rededicate your life to the Lord, go ahead and raise your hand. I'm the only one looking around. Hallelujah, I see your hand. Thank you, Lord. I see your hand too. Praise the Lord. God's good. Thank you, Father. He only wants the best for us. He only wants the best for us. That's why he gave us pastors. That's why he gave us Jesus. That's why he gave us everything that he gave us. So let's all, we had a couple of hands. I just want to all pray together now. And if this morning you need to make that dedication, that prayer in your life, I just encourage you to pray along with me this morning and mean it from your heart. Say, Father God, I thank you for Jesus. I thank you that he died for me and rose from the dead, and I recognize my salvation, and I thank you for my new life. In Jesus' name, amen, amen. Well, the word's good, isn't it? Were you helped today? Were you blessed today? All right. We got one more bit of business before we go any further, and I'll be honest with you, a lot of prayer went into whether or not this next bit of business was going to happen or not, but you know, I believe in being led of the Spirit, and I believe that I'm led to do this morning. Everything that we talked about with honoring our pastors, I want to give you an opportunity to act on what we learned today. And you know, for if it's coming as a shock to you, just bear with me. It's the Word, and the Word's good. But you know, like I said earlier, we taught through the Word about giving to your pastors. And Michelle, could you put up there 1 Timothy 5:17, please? And Jeff, if your phone rings, don't answer it. I don't know if he's live streaming or not. 1 Timothy 5:17. There. Hallelujah. It says, "Let the elders that rule well be counted worthy of double honor, especially they who labor in word and doctrine." This verse specifically spells it out for us here. Double honor, you look it up in the Greek because the New Testament was written in Greek. It actually means financial blessing. So what I want to do this morning, you know, I'm not able to get up here, and what I like to do for Pastor Mike is if I could, I would be here for his birthday and for Christmas and for Miss Courtney's birthday to take up offerings and bless their family, because I believe it's right that a church do that. But since I can't, and I can't just sneak in here while he's doing a service, because he'd probably give me the boot from the pulpit if I tried to take it from him. But I want to do that today. You know, birthday and Christmas are long gone, but the Bible says, let them that rule well be counted worthy of double honor. You're ruled well here. Pastor Mike studies. He puts time into the messages. He puts time into this church, into, you know, you're in his heart. And so I want to take up an offering for him this morning. And this offering isn't going to go to the church. It's not going to go, you know, to the building or anything like that. It's going to go specifically to Pastor Mike and Miss Court and their family. It's good and right that we hook up with our pastors. It's good and right that we act on the word. And, you know, I prayerfully considered whether to do this or not. I'd never want to hurt his church. You know what I mean? I'd never want to come in here and make you think, oh, that guy just came in and took my money. But I want to do this because it's right, and it's what the Word says, that we're to honor our pastors. And if this is today, you know, maybe you prepared for your offerings, maybe you budgeted it out, and this wasn't what you had planned on, I just encourage you, prayerfully consider it for next week. You know, he'll be here next week, so you can sow something into him then. But I want to take up an offering for him this morning. So I think there should be envelopes there. If you need a new one, go ahead and raise your hand. I'm sure the ushers can help you out. What you're doing now, just so you know, the Bible says without faith without works is dead. You know, you're giving life to your faith right now, to what we learned today, to the word that we learned today. You're giving life to that this morning. And praise the Lord. It's going to bless Pastor Mike. And this is the miracle grow that I was talking about. This is that special blessing that I was talking about that you're going to tap into right now. And we're just doing the word this morning. Amen? Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. Don't get offended. If you get offended, it's going to rip your seed right out of the ground. Hallelujah. This is the word. We're doing the word this morning. Let's give. Father, I thank you for your word, Lord. I thank you, Father, that everything that you indicated in there for us, Lord, we want to align our lives to that, Father God. So, Lord, as we sow into Pastor Mike, as we sow into their family, Father, we just thank you, Lord, that it's going into good ground. Father, we believe that... excuse me. We believe that every need that Pastor Mike and his family have is met, Father God. Lord, we just thank you for their ministry, Lord. We thank you for what you've called them to do. We thank you that they have the desires of their heart, Father God. And Lord, as we sow this seed into you, we recognize as this church, Father, that Pastor Mike is our pastor, Father. Lord, we tap into the grace and anointing that you have on his life that you've intended for us. And we thank you for more wisdom, more revelation, more impartation, Father. And we just trust you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. It's good to do the word, isn't it? Now, maybe this morning was, maybe you gave in that and it was something new for you, something that you've never really, you know, tapped into before. Well, that's good. Expect new things to come from it. Maybe you stepped it up today, but to whatever it is, I just encourage you, let the Bible change your heart, you know. Go through, if you want to ask me those scriptures again, I'd be happy to show them to you so you can study them out on your own. And you know, you're taught well here, you know, about financial giving and blessing and the reaping that'll come from the seed that you sowed today, but I trust that you'll be blessed for it. You know, just real quick before we go, we don't buy the gifts of God. You know, we don't buy the things that God has for us through our pastors, but there is something about financial blessing hooking up with it that'll allow us to tap into it like we maybe haven't been able to before. So I encourage you, expect that those things are going to manifest in your life and hook up with your pastors. If he is your pastor, come to him next week and say, Pastor Mike, I'm all in. You're my pastor. I want everything that you have for me in this church. I want everything that God has for me through my pastor. Amen? Amen. Praise the Lord. Well, were you helped today? Yes. Praise the Lord. You are dismissed. Was it? Good.